Thank you for listening to the weekly messages of New Providence Primitive Baptist Church. To subscribe to our podcast, hear other messages, or learn more about us, please visit nppbc.com.
Well, I started praying and about a word for tonight, and I didn't have anything, and I didn't know what was going to happen. And so this morning I walked in and the Lord gave me a message.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I mean, I sought the Lord for it. I don't want to do anything and say, oh yeah, God put God's name on it when His name ain't attached to it. Amen. I don't
Amen.
Do
Amen.
And so I came in this morning and he gave me a message. And here's the title of it. Somebody opened the gate.
Yeah.
I want you to think about that. Somebody opened the gate. Now, the first thing I thought of was, you know, most of y'all grew up here and you got farm animals and stuff. And what happens when the gate gets open?
They go out.
They get out, right? The cattle get out. The horses get out. And somebody leaves the door open. The dog gets out. When the dogs get out at my house, there's trouble. Amen. They want to know where the dog is, you know. It's bad. It's bad. They kill for them dogs and girls, them ladies will, you know. And I grew up, or I worked with a bunch of farmers. They told me what they did with their dogs. They was hunters. That's a whole different breed of dogs. Whole different breed of people.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah. Amen.
But one day, somebody came along and opened the gate. Now, there's a lot of people today that are living thinking that they've entered into the gate. And they're living with a false sense of security. And we're going to talk about both tonight. So I went back in the Old Testament and I come into the paths of people that say, we don't need the Old Testament anymore. We've got the New Testament. And I'll sit there and tell them, you ain't got the New Testament without the Old Testament.
That's right.
And they'll say, well, I thought Jesus did away with the law. And you try to tell them, no, he fulfilled the law. There's a big difference.
Yeah, right.
Because nobody could. Right. And he said, not one law shall be done away with, but every T will be crossed and every I, every dot and every tittle. Right? Did I say that right?
Jot and tittle.
Will be fulfilled, right? So we understand that. And so when you go into the Old Testament, we look at Leviticus, which I'm not going to read all of it, but when we look at Leviticus, and it's talking about the priesthood, right? Specifically, because everybody today wants to know, can I be accepted in God? Amen. And then they throw the Old Testament out without understanding that the Old Testament, as to who could approach God and who could not, was specifically for a group of people that God had ordained to enter into the presence of God and perform the works for God for the people of God. And that was the priesthood. But yet, what happened when Jesus opened the gate in the New Testament? He said, I've made you a high priest. Well, I tell you, I started thinking about that when I started thinking about what he did when he opened the gate for me. I was in no wise of the lineage of the tribe of Levi that I would have the exclusive right to even be called into the priesthood of God. And then when you look at the priesthood, there was only certain ones that were allowed to do that. And who was that? That was them that had no blemish. Their stones could not have been damaged. You know what I'm talking about. They could not have a flat nose. They could not have any skin on them that was red or broken or undone. They had to be without blemish. Or they couldn't even be in the priesthood. But yet it said if they were of the royal priesthood, they could still eat the bread of the high priest. But if they had a blemish and it was known, they had to go get cleaned up, come back in, get back to normal. Well, I'm glad that we don't have to go through all that today.
Amen.
I'm glad today that when Jesus opened the gate, amen, he made a way, a new and living way that we could approach the throne of God.
Yeah.
Let's go to Matthew 10.
Amen.
There's a lot of scripture in here about gates. Matthew, John 10, I'm sorry, John 10. I tell you, the Lord put a lot on me over this message today. I knew He would. He always does. He filled me way up.
Thank you, Lord.
And so I'm going to read. If you'd stand to your feet, let's read about Jesus. And why is it important that I'm reading about the Good Shepherd? Because He said, I'm the door.
That's right.
Amen. I am the gate.
Amen.
Amen. And so let's read it. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth into the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out.
Right.
And when he put forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers.
Thank you, Lord.
This parable spake he unto them, but they understood not what things they were, which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep.
Right.
All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly.
Yeah.
I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep, but he that is an hireling and not the sheep herd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep.
Right.
I'm the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine.
Amen.
As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. This commandment have I received of my Father.
Right.
There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews of these sayings, and many of them said, he hath the devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, these are not the words of him that hath the devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? Let's pray. Father, bless your word and anoint your messenger. And Father, open up every heart. And God, I pray for your divine hand, Father, to work through your word and through this night. In the name of Jesus, we ask for your help and blessing. Amen.
Amen.
So we read this and we find out that Jesus is the good shepherd. Amen. And you know, if, you know, most of us have never seen sheep and how they work back in that day, but there's many that still do it that way. And what would happen, let's say like at a great feast and you were a sheep herder, they would bring their sheep to town and there'd be many, many herds amongst them, and they would rent a place for their sheep to be stored. But the shepherd would lay down in the door.
Yeah.
That's where he would sleep, and he would protect the sheep. Why? Because shepherds couldn't just go get a motel. They couldn't leave their sheep. They didn't want to hire a hireling because he didn't care for the sheep.
Amen. Yeah.
Ain't you glad that the Lord cares for his sheep?
Amen.
Amen. And then you know what would happen?
Yeah.
I guess many of them shepherds maybe would have to go in one stockyard and they would get ready to leave and they'd holler for their sheep and there'd be a uniqueness to their voice. And their sheep would come out amongst the other sheep, and they wouldn't mix.
Yeah.
Ain't that wonderful?
Yeah.
Ain't that's what he's saying? He said, see, they knew that when he was speaking to them. They knew how this worked. Amen.
Oh, my voice.
Yeah.
They knew it. And when they were told this, they understood because Jesus was telling them, he said, I am the good shepherd.
God.
Amen.
Yeah.
And I'm thankful that he opened the gate. Because when he opened the gate, what he said was, you go in and out.
Yes.
Amen. And he would keep watch over you. Like Brother Pastor Tommy read this morning. He said, I make thee to lie down. Amen. Mm-hmm. By the still water in the good grass. And he said, I anoint your head with the anointing oil that takes away the pestilence and the disease that plagues us. Amen. You could consider those things a sin that doth so easily beset us. You could consider those things a weight that ties down. Amen. A good shepherd knows how to reveal unto the sheep of his sheepfold the errors of our way and to show us how to get back. Amen. To an altar. Amen. Where we can get and find help and be delivered from the powers of this world that work in our life, that work the things that disquiet us and bring unrest and all the things that break us up. Amen. I'm here to tell you tonight that there's a bunch of them running around. They ain't in the sheepfold. They got another shepherd. He ain't the God that laid down his life for them. He's another God.
That's right. Amen.
Don't be deceived. Paul wrote in one of the little epistles, he said, those that practice fornication, adultery, and all manner of ungodliness and sin, he said, they will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. There is a great need for the preaching of the gospel and the holiness that God requires of them that would come before. He didn't call you out and save your soul for you to get tied back up in this world out there. There ought to be something that convinces you of the errors of your way if you're out there living in sin. But blessed be unto the great God and the Savior of my soul. He knows how to keep me because he is a good shepherd.
Amen. Yes, he is.
I'm thankful for that tonight.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm thankful because there's a bunch out there. They think they're in the right sheepfold. But I'm here to tell you tonight they're not.
Yeah.
Don't be fooled. Amen.
Right.
They practice openly ungodliness and say they have a relationship with God.
Yeah.
Can sweet water and bitter water come out of the same well?
No.
It can't happen, can it? You see, when Jesus opened the gate, amen, he told us in the book of Revelation, he said, I opened the door. No man shut it. He said, I closed the door. No man openeth it. Amen. I'm going to tell you what, right now is the time for the church to get right and to pray and to stay on point. Amen. This ain't the time to take your ease and sit back and say, well, I'm going to wait for another day. I'm going to wait till the church gets filled back. I'm going to wait till this plague goes by. Hey, now's the time to get on your face and get right with God and call the power of God down.
Amen.
I don't mean like fire, like the disciples said, should we call fire down? Amen. I'm not the judge, but I am one who can tell the difference between light and darkness. Amen. I can't tell the difference between that which is good and godly and that which is bad and brings death. Amen. Right. It'll kill you, sin will.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. God help us.
See, I believe church is in trouble today.
Yes.
Not because of God, but because of the behavior of the church.
Yeah. God help.
I seen old Kirk Cameron got in trouble out in California. He went Christmas caroling. Yeah. They have a band on any gathering. But he showed up anyway. Said, I'm going to praise my God. His sister stepped out. Cameron, what's her name? She stepped out and said, I wasn't there. I thought, why'd you do that? Amen.
Yeah.
You see, now's the time to step up and step out. Now's the time to show forth your... I'm not saying run out and jump in front of a truck and say you're godly. I'm saying just do what God said to do.
Amen.
Don't live in fear. If you live in fear, you're living in bondage.
Yeah.
Bondage is of the devil. It's full of lies, deceit, and fear, and unrest. Oh, but Jesus opened the gate.
That's right.
Amen. I can go in and out. I can find pasture. I can find sustenance. I can find hope. There's peace where God is. There's liberty where the Spirit of the Lord is.
And I'm safe.
I'm safe there.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm good and safe there. Amen. I do have a few notes I would like to share with you. In Psalm 9 and 13, this is what got me this morning. I don't know how I got there. I don't even remember. You know, I've read Psalm gongs of times, but, you know, for God just to pull this one out, he said, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Consider my trouble which I suffer of them that hate me. Thou that liftest me up from the gates of death, that I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion, I will rejoice in thy salvation."
Yes.
And I started thinking about what happened when Jesus opened the gate. Well, the Bible says that he led captivity captive.
Yeah.
He opened the gate to them that had died in God, but there was another gate in death. Remember that gate about the rich man and Lazarus?
Yeah.
There was a gate in there, and there was only a few select that were able to come out of that place. The others couldn't get back through the gate because Jesus had shut the gate because they died in disbelief. Don't be fooled. If you die in unbelief, you will go to hell.
That's right.
There was many that died in faith, though.
Yeah.
Amen. Book of Corinthians said they saw him walking amongst them, 500 of the brethren. I don't know what that would have been like, but I think we need to be reminded that we're not dealing with man here. We're dealing with a God that can take 500 people that died and march them through town because he opened the gate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Sure. There wasn't nothing they could do. Death couldn't hold them. They've been delivered from death. They've been raised in an incorruptible place. I know they weren't in that body. Amen. I know there's one to come that we ain't seen, but the Bible says that when we see him, we shall be as he is. Amen.
Yeah.
That's the day we're looking for when he comes again. Amen. Because he's opened the gate that this body of sin, amen, will be done away with. That I'll have a new body. One incorruptible, one unchangeable, one just like his. Amen. I don't know what he looked like, but I know that when he came up out of the gate of death and Mary was there, he said, "Don't touch me. I'm not yet ascended up on high." But there was just a day or so, he come back and they was all touching him.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
He'd have that new body.
Yeah.
All right, that's what he looked like in glory. Amen. But yet it still had them nail prints in his hands. Amen.
Yeah.
It still had the bruises for your and I's deliverance. Amen. It still had the marks. Amen. That it took to open that gate that I'm talking about tonight.
Amen.
And if you don't get on through that door, amen, if you don't come through the Good Shepherd,
yeah,
if you don't get right with God, if you don't seek the kingdom of God, you're going to be left out. And that, like that song we sing.
Yeah.
What is it, JT?
Standing outside.
Standing outside.
Yeah.
Amen. Standing outside. The gates are intended to keep that which is wrong and ungodly out. Amen. The rich people, the people that they say they love this country, but they don't want a gate on the border, but yet they live in border towns. You know what I'm talking about? A whole bunch of people. We won't mention what side they're on. Because I believe there's some on both sides. They just wrong.
Yeah.
All together. Amen?
Amen.
They live in gated communities, but yet they don't want a gate to protect our nation. And yet there's a gate. What's the gate? Why do they live in a gated community, but yet they don't want you and I protected and to put forth the means necessary because we don't want garbage coming in. Amen. If you had the choice between raising your kids with Christians or raising them with heathens, it's a simple answer. Which one you going to put them in? Who you going to pull them with? Which side you going to send them with? You're going to put them with the ones that fear God. The ones whose parents fear God. Amen. You ain't going to put them out there where just anything goes. Where everything's can just be debated. Amen. You're going to put them with them that say, "I told you that was wrong. That sin has a payday. And if you disobey your parents, you're wrong."
Yeah. Yeah.
Gates are important. Now, you remember when the children of Israel come up out of Egypt? They were in there. And the Lord told Moses to get up there on the mountain. Amen. There was a perimeter set out there. Amen. And he said, if anything come He said, now if anything, try to break this barrier. In other words, go through the gate. Uninvited. And God only invited one up there, and his name was Moses. And he said, if anything else come, he said, whether it be beast or man, he said, you're to kill it. Why? Because nothing unholy can enter into the presence of God lest God do something with it first. Amen. There's been gates that have separated man and God from the beginning of time, and Jesus has opened the gate that we may all freely enter into that place.
Amen. Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. He's the only way.
Amen.
Amen. In the book of Leviticus, I just want you to think about this. These are I wrote down the things. It said, Leviticus 21, it said, any blemish, blind, lame, flat nose, anything superfluous or anything more than that, any blemish whatsoever. He said, broken-footed, handed, crooked back, a dwarf, an eye blemish, scurry or scabbed, or his stone broke. I mean, God covered it all. Amen?
Yeah.
He covered it all. He didn't play. Yeah. But here in this book of Psalms here, I'm not sure who wrote that. That David. He said, you liftest me up from the gates of death. You see, David went through a gate one day. He believed God. Amen?
Yeah.
See, it didn't matter. Didn't matter what happened.
Yeah.
He knew God had him. We're living in a time right now where we need to know who has us.
Amen.
We either have full confidence in what Christ has done for us, and we're hopeful in that, and we're trusting in that, amen, or we're trusting in something else.
Right?
As I was thinking about the Lord today and praying and putting myself before Him, He asked me this question. He said, is there anything that you want on this side more than me? On what side? On this side of the gate. In other words, am I here still for my kids or my wife or my dogs or my job or my reputation? And you know, I don't have many of them things, but I do love the people that are in my life and I am thankful for them. But they don't come close to my God.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's right. You see, you got to get to the place where you're sold out. Because you find out that you're all alone. You're all alone in this thing. I understand it says in the book of Corinthians you might have a believer and a non-believer and they might be unevenly yoked and they may be married and yet he said the one sanctifieth the other one but it don't save the other one.
Yeah.
Amen.
Kim.
You see, because they have to go through the gate themselves. And I'm thankful that I got a spot on the other side of the gate.
Yeah.
Amen. That I entered into the Holy of Holies one day. Or actually, he came to me.
Yeah.
He came to me. There's no doubt about it. He came looking for me.
Yeah.
When I got, he said, hold on. Yeah. Amen. One day. He said, I'm going down there to get this one. And it wasn't just a second. And I said, you got me. I mean, it was that simple, Roger.
Yeah.
You can give all the details. People say, why don't you write your testimony out? I can. I'm saved.
Yes.
Amen. I put in one word. Two. I'm saved.
Amen.
He saved my soul. And there ain't nothing you can do about it. Not even the gates of hell will prevail against it. Because I'm his.
Amen.
This gate that's open has two-way traffic for the redeemed. For the redeemed. Why? Because we're still his ministers, this ministry of reconciliation. Amen?
Yes.
That's our job.
That's right, yes.
Ain't nobody out of a job. Amen? There's people on unemployment right now. They think, I ain't got a job. But when you get in the Lord's army, you've got a job to do, and that's to tell people of God's goodness, of his saving grace, of his power to redeem you and to save you, and that he is the only one that can do it, and he'll do it for you. He's done it for me, and it's his will that all should come to repentance and be saved.
Amen.
Oh, I'm thankful for that. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
You see, in order to go in the gate in the Old Testament, you had to be perfect morally, spiritually, and physically. Now, I looked long at that today. And I thought, am I morally right? Am I spiritually right? And I know I ain't physically right. Brain matter, body, amen?
Amen.
I got some problems.
Amen.
Amen?
Yeah.
Yet, because of what Jesus did.
There you go.
Amen? Because he doesn't look at my blemishes anymore. He looks at his son's perfect sacrifice for me. Amen? See, that's the good news. Amen? I was denied access. Amen? Let's go to Acts chapter 4, where Peter and John, they're out doing the Lord's work. Amen? Remember how Peter denied and tried to get out of it and tried to connive his way. I'm a fisherman. I do this, do that. Amen. But then the Lord got a hold of them. Amen. And he started doing the work in them. And they going around everywhere telling everybody about Jesus. And they went down there to another gate. It is a gate called Beautiful. I don't know what that gate looked like back then, but the disciples thought it was really wonderful. They said, look at how beautiful. He said, man, every rock is going to be turned over. But yet there was still a gate there. Why was there a gate there? Because they didn't let anything blemish go in. Amen. And there outside there was a man who his family carried and laid him at the gate called Beautiful every day. I reckon it says daily. And there he was. And then Peter and John come along and Peter said, look at me. And the man looked at him like, oh boy, gold mine. Amen. He probably wasn't there for himself, by the way. Knowing the hearts of men, he was giving that money to somebody else. Right? Because that's how we are. We're corrupt. You've seen a ton of them. They get their family on welfare so they can take their money. Right? They always got an angle. You know? And we're surrounded by them. Amen? I just imagine the corruption, though. Okay, let's move on. That's just my mind, the way it works. But Peter says, look at me, said silver and gold, I have none, but that which I have I freely give unto you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up! And he grabbed him by the hand, and he lifted him up. And as he did this in faith, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Bible says that the strength came into his bones, and he started standing up.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he grabbed a hold of John and Peter, and he run. Amen. He ran through the gate.
Yep.
Now this is typical, right? Because hardly ever do we see such miracles. Amen.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Huh?
Amen.
Right? Because Jesus said, if a sign you look for, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. Amen. He told us we got to operate by what?
Faith,
because without faith it's impossible to please God. But yet, this is a typical, just like a pattern of what it looks like for a lame, undone inability for you to have access to God, man, to come in contact with the power of God and be miraculously, wonderfully changed immediately. Amen. That's what happened to me when I got saved. Amen. I was lame, undone, couldn't enter in, but then the Lord came, took me. He brought me into a place, into the place where the good shepherd lives. Amen. And there I went into a place where I didn't have access before. Amen. I went in there and I've been eating in there ever since I got in there. And I'm telling you, it's good.
Amen.
Amen. He went in there. He couldn't stop jumping and leaping and praising God. And they said, they all knew that a miracle had been done and that this had to have been done by God. Because only God could do something. Hey, this boy was laid there daily.
Right.
There wasn't nobody. Even those in charge, the Pharisees, Sadducees, whoever was in there was like, man, we got to be careful here because we know God did this. Amen. And that's the way we ought to be living our life. To where those around us, the Sadducees, the religionists, the those that don't have faith. Amen. They got something, but they ain't got God. Amen. They ought to see it. Only God could have done that, Robert. Amen. That had to been God. And then Peter and John were excited because they got all beat up and all that. And you know how that happened. Amen. Because, you know, it's one thing to put yourself in a position like that. It's another thing for God to call you into a position like that and go through it with faith.
Yeah.
Amen. They went through it with faith. I mean, real faith. Amen. They didn't sit there and cry, oh, woe is me. Look what I've done. I thought I was going to take down the Roman Empire. Amen. They done got over all that junk. See, that's carnal.
Yep.
That was earthly. But what God's trying to deal with us is on the spiritual side.
Amen.
It's on the things that are eternal in the heavens.
Yes.
It's on the things that he opened the gate to everlasting life. And you know, I'm going to go over here in just a minute. He said, no one ever really qualified within themselves. No sinner could approach God. The gate was closed. That man had his friends. I mean, I'm not talking about the four friends that ripped the roof off. But if his friends would have said, we want to take him in through the beautiful gate, they'd have never got in there. There was guards there. There was soldiers that worked that gate. And they would not have been granted access. That's why he laid out there all day long. You know, everybody wants to be seen in the beautiful stuff, right? That's why he went there. That's my mindset anyways. Because they could have gone in another gate. I was told there's 12. I could be wrong. One of them may be sealed up on the eastern side by the Muslims today. But yet I know this. They chose to go in that gate, and he chose to go there because he knew that that was the best place. But what he didn't know, that one day Jesus was going to open the gate, and he was going to really enter into a place where he could find rest, and bless God, what was it like when Peter and John came by you? He said, let me tell you what it was like. He said, everything that I thought would never happen to me happened that day. He said, I was never the same. I'd say it would be his testimony. I was never the same for it. And he probably suffered the rest of his life because of it. He didn't know how to do anything. Well, maybe he did. Amen. But he was miraculously brought through the gate by the power of God.
Amen.
You see, this gate that we now have access to, they don't have access to it.
That's right.
The favor, people say, well, isn't the favor of God good news to everybody on the earth? Well, the opportunity is. There's a difference. Amen. There's a difference. See, I've got more than opportunity. I have God's favor abiding with me because I have the good shepherd.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
When I call on the good shepherd, it said the porter opened. You know who the porter is? That'd be God the Father. Amen. I got the Son's approval. And when I start calling on the Son, the porter says, hey, did you hear him down there? Amen. Help him out. Why? Because I ask the Father in the name of the Son. Because I have that privilege. Amen?
Right.
There's a bunch of them that are living in the world. They think they got the privilege. But yet, if you look at their behavior, it says something different.
Right.
Because you go back in the Old Testament, it says line on line, precept on precept, precept on precept. In other words, if it don't line up, it ain't right. I mean, he repeated it four times that we wouldn't miss it. The beautiful gate. I went through the beautiful gate one day. Jesus is the resurrection from the death gate.
Yeah.
Amen. I used to have to go through the death gate in the Old Testament, in Isaiah, and also in Jeremiah. It talks about how a contract with hell and death was broken. But this was coming from false prophets. Let me tell you why they was false prophets. Because they said, we have annulled this contract. It doesn't apply to us. But let me tell you what the Bible says to those that are outside and have not come through the right way. Because he said, everybody's come, before me was a thief and a robber. And anybody that tries to enter in the gate some other way is a thief and a robber. And they're a liar and there's no truth in them. Amen? Because if they don't have this testimony that Jesus did it and he did it for me, and I'm in there because of what Jesus did, not because I was baptized, not because I'm a part of a church, not because my uncle, my grandpa, my daddy was a preacher, or my mama was a godly woman, but because Jesus one day lifted me up, amen, and he brought me through the gate, and I've been inside ever since, and it's all because of him.
Amen.
Amen. Isaiah said, let me just find my notes, probably quicker. I'll move right along. So the gate was intended. Oops, I went the wrong way. Isaiah tells us that they falsely dwell thinking they're safe. This is where the world is, y'all. Our politicians, our friends, our co-workers, they think everything's fine. But this is what it says in Isaiah 28, starting at 15. Let me just go there. Be better. Coming right out of the Word. Amen. 28 and 15 says, because you have said we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. See, that's where the world is today.
Yes.
They're thinking, hey, I fooled a preacher. Mm-hmm. I pay my tithes. I'll act like I'm really praying and talking to God. I'll act like I'm really repenting of my sin, but secretly, right, in my heart, I'm still serving darkness. Mm-hmm. I'm still hiding.
Yeah.
Bible says all things are open and naked with him with whom we have to do. Amen? Mm-hmm. See, that's scary there, isn't it?
It's scary.
He knows it.
And you see, the redeemed has to consider his ways. The lost man says, I'll just hide. And then I'll lie about it. I'll create this world that everybody thinks I'm okay. But listen to this. He said, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone. Whew. Jesus is the chief cornerstone, is he not?
Yeah.
Precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. In other words, I don't have to worry about it. Amen? I don't have to all of a sudden consider and say, oh no! Did that lie get out? Amen? Do I have to run? Do I have to try to do something? Do I have to try to protect myself? No, no! I got a sure foundation. I got a tried stone. Amen? This one will do the job and I'm counting on it. It's solid. It's steadfast. It's unmovable. What'd he say? He had built a house upon this rock. Amen? On this rock. When the winds come and the troubles come and the rain comes, it won't wash out. Amen. It'll be there. Amen. Through the storm. And we in a storm.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah.
You might say, well, hey, I coasted right along for a while. I was too good. But then all of a sudden, the ship went 180. It's rough for a while. I had to get myself right, Tommy.
Help us.
Amen. I mean, I had to get on my face, Alfred, and I had to say, all right, God, what's this all about? And he said, it ain't about you, boy.
No.
Amen. He said, you just hang on to me. He said, anything you think's of any more importance than you hanging on to me don't matter anyway.
Right.
Amen. Yeah. And that pill right there is easier said than it is swallowed. Amen. Because all of us got stuff and we got things and we got hopes and dreams. And I'm just here to tell you, man, ain't none of that matters. Amen. You better have yourself on the solid rock where there's hope, where no matter what comes your way, that you're going to be okay because you're not trusting in your own strength or in your own ability or in the economy or in the United States of America or anybody else or any tongue or any nation on this planet, but you're trusting in God.
Yeah, right.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. You better be trusting in God and what thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
Because this is what happens. You see, the Lord put this stone, this foundation, it's going to be a stumbling block to them, know, y'all was talking about how God's dealing with people, and you know, you wonder how. Man, hey, they just keep stumbling over Jesus day in and day out. Don't you think they don't? Because they are.
That's right.
They are stumbling over Him on every, especially in this area.
Yeah.
You should be thankful that we live. See, God, I could have been some other place, but God put me right here. He did that because He's so good. He loves me.
Yeah.
Amen. I even tried running off and getting out of East Tennessee because I didn't have nothing here. Amen. Bless God. This is where He planted me. Amen. And this is where I'll grow. And this is where, bless God, I'll meet my Maker. Yeah. Unless He does something.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, He's a precious cornerstone. He's a chief corner. He's a sure foundation. He says, judgment also will I lay to the line. Builders, what's it mean to lay it to the line? Find out if it's true. Amen? Is the block wall straight? Is the foundation secure? Is the wall going to hold it up? Amen? Travis was telling me about his wall he built just a few weeks ago. It had to be redone. It wasn't straight. When they put the line on it, it didn't match up. And they had to fix it. Ain't you glad that God puts out the faith and the patience to fix your wall?
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. I am.
Amen.
I am, because when I get laid to the line, amen, I find out that it's not God that has to change, it's me. Amen, it's not God that has the problem, it's me. I'm the one that has to get right. I'm the one that has to repent. And you know what? He does that because He cares for me.
Yeah.
He said, if I didn't do that, He said, you're not mine. He said, I lay it to the line and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding place. Now, before we get to this next verse, and I'll be slowing down, Travis. slowing down, because I'm not done until the Lord tells me I'm done. You see, what we need to be praying right now is for the flood to come to Washington. To the places of unrest that you exist. The job, the home, the family, the community. Pray the flood. Why? He said, because the refuge of lies will be washed away. Everything they're counting on, everything that they're trusting in, amen, will be exposed. Do we not need lies, ungodliness, deceit, the ways of man exposed, not for their hurt, but for the goodness of the Lord, for His name's sake. Amen. You think about that. And the water shall overflow the hiding place. What happens when the waters come in? Whatever's in there hiding floats to the top. Amen. It will. It can't remain in there. Amen. If it ain't supposed to be in there. Amen. It's coming out. Flood. Your knees on your face before the Lord with the floods of tears and prayers and holiness and righteousness. Amen. That the lies are exposed. Hey, I don't know if they fixed this election or not. Right? There's so much garbage on everything. We ain't got. There's no way we could ever discern between what we're hearing. But God knows. God knows. Amen. So I'm just going to say, all right, God, instead of me worrying about this or worrying about, just like Brother Tommy, Pastor Tommy said this morning, hey, January 1st is going to go on just like it did on the 31st of December. Amen. And I still got an obligation unto my God. I still got a will to serve my God. I still got an altar. Amen. That they don't have access to. That I can go before my Lord who knows all things, has all power in heaven and earth. I can call upon my God. And there's nothing my God can't do. His ears are not dull of hearing. And His arm is not short that He can't get down there and jerk and move and change whatever He wants to. But know this, whatever happens is His will if you've done your part. Amen. Don't sit back and wait on me to pray your prayer. Don't sit back and do nothing and then say, well, it must have been God's will. No, sir. You better be getting right with this. You better be pouring your heart into your life. This is your country. This is your future. This is your world you're living in. You want revival? It'll start with you or it won't come. You want deliverance. You want truth. You want righteousness. It'll start with you. It won't start with your neighbor. It won't start with the preacher. It won't start with the singers. He'll start with you. Now listen to this. There's a bunch of them, they trusting in their lies. Now the way I see it, they all lied. Every one of them. The Bible says every man's a liar.
Amen.
I can't help but think they all lied. And he said, and your covenant with death shall be disannulled. They think they're okay. They think they're going to get by with this. But there's going to be a day when they stand before the Lord. Amen. What are they going to do then? He said, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. They think they're going on to heaven because maybe they was baptized or maybe once they thought they, them and God had this deal worked out. You used to hear that all the time in the jail. Me and God got this thing worked out. Oh, He does. He lets you sin, and He stands there holy and righteous and lets you just do what you want to, huh? Boy, that's a great deal. Boy, get me in on some of that. No, I wouldn't want it.
Right.
Amen. After what I've tasted of, the Lord is good. Amen. I don't want none of that. Amen. I can tell the difference.
Yes.
I don't want none of that. You see, that's what brings death. That's what tears up families. That's what makes daddies run off. That's what makes kids get abused. That's what makes countries get in shape where they're upside down. They can't get the ship turned back upside right. Amen. It's the ungodliness that men do day in and day out, refusing to repent, refusing to call on God, refusing to trust in Jesus and believe His word.
Amen.
He said, when the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then you shall be trodden down by it. Now let me give you this description. The first thing that happens is scourging. Scourging is an instrument of punishment. These people that have believed in lies will first be scourged with an instrument of punishment. What did they do to Jesus? They took Him and they carried Him off and they tied Him up. And they scourged Him. And they made His features how to bring shame to us. Said His visage was marred more than any man's. Bible says the chastisement of my peace was placed upon Him. He was punished for me. But all those that refuse Christ,
amen,
that same punishment, only worse. Get this picture in your mind of what it looks like for the sinner to stand before God without Christ Jesus. The scourging will come upon them. The punishment for some will be worse than others. Those who knew and yet continued in sin and forsook the grace of God day in and day out over the pleadings of your prayers, over the pleading of your taunting them and praying for them and sharing the love of God in their need of salvation, they'll be punished. And the scourging, I don't think we have words. I don't think we could describe how awful it is. The next thing that happens, it says that there'll be a flood that comes upon them. A flood of shame, a flood that brings everything to the top. A scourging, a flood, and then it says, then you shall be trodden down by it. And the meaning of this in the Hebrew was, it was as if an army had come through. A victorious army stomping down. Like the Roman soldiers, they wore these cleats on their boots. And these cleats were made to do one thing and one thing only. And that was to move forward and to stop their enemy into little bitty pieces. And that is what the message is out of Isaiah of all those who live a lie and are trusting in it. That will be their demise. It'll be their end. It'll be what happens to them. That will be their reward for forsaking Jesus. Terrible. Terrible, amen?
Yes, it is.
Terrible. And it ought to bother us. And ought to work something inside. I'm glad it doesn't have to work conviction in my heart, but it must work a compassion inside of me that the lost have nothing but bad things awaiting them. And whatever I need to do, whatever I can do, make yourself available unto God to be an instrument of righteousness instead of an instrument of punishment. That we, after doing all that we are doing on this side of eternity, will judge the angels and be brought back for our instrument to work for the Lord in the days to come.
Yeah.
I don't want to look and say, well, I missed my mark. I didn't do what I could have done. The Bible says that because this gate, that Jesus has opened this gate, that all that the false prophets, amen, that's the false prophets of today, are telling people peace, peace, when there is no peace. Amen. They're telling everybody it's going to be okay. Yeah. You see the signs down on Old Niles Ferry? I appreciate it because I needed that, but it ain't going to be okay outside of Jesus. It ain't going to be okay if you've not entered in through the Good Shepherd, if you don't have the hope of all glory inside of you.
Yeah.
Amen. That's the blessed hope. Yeah. Amen. That's the hope, that inheritance in heaven that faith by the way. Amen. That's I am truly a pilgrim, just sojourning, passing through this land, and I've got a land of promise, amen, that I've yet to see, but I want to build that kingdom. I want to send forth whatever I can, amen, that when I get there, there is a good rival. Amen. Not for me, but for him. I mean, if you look at the book of Revelation, you see John in there and he sees the 24 elders and somebody said, hallelujah. And all of a sudden they all fall down on their knees. Their crowns come off. They sling them at his feet and they all break out in this war. I'm talking about real men of God. These 24 elders, I mean, they did it upside down, inside out, sideways, to the left and to the right, their whole lives, amen. They gave it up for God, and they proved it, because they wouldn't be there if they didn't. They had to get there by the law. They had to get there by ordination, amen. And they had to maintain, amen, because if they'd been found with a blemish, they wouldn't have made it. There'd been something wrong, amen. And there's another group coming behind them, amen. 144 to be exact, without blemish. That's coming. They're going to preach too. Amen. You see, these things that we have to look forward to, I don't know about you, but I get excited about it. I don't know what it's going to be like. 144 men that can preach, I mean, with the power of God. Amen. They're going to be two witnesses. Amen. One day they're going to be resurrected in the city of David. Amen. And they're going to have the power to send fire. I don't know what that's, but I'm thinking about, I think more about those things than I do the stupidness that we're dealing with on a day-to-day basis. Amen. Set your affections on things on high.
Amen.
It'll help you. Amen. Yeah. It'll help you. And it'll help you to encourage one another in doing so. Amen. It'll help you to, hey, when's the last time you thought about this? Amen. Just pull something out. Amen. One of them nuggets. Amen. And just share it with somebody. That's good stuff. I don't care what you say. Oh, it makes me happy just to think about the hope I have. Amen. Yeah, I got myself all worked up and beside myself, but I'm telling you, it's because of him. Amen. So, we have access. Romans 5:1 tells us that we're justified by faith and we have peace with God, by whom also we have access. Access to what? We went through the gate. We couldn't get through the gate if it wasn't for the faith that we exhibited on the day that the Lord knocked on our heart. Amen. And we exercise that faith if you're saved. Amen. Now exercise your rights as a citizen and as a son of God. Exercise them. Amen. Go in and out. What do you go in for? You go in to get filled up. You go out to get emptied. You go out to be used. You go out to declare the good news.
That's right.
Amen. I got to come in here. I've got to be in church. Ain't no other place for it. TV ain't going to cut it. I've got to be where they preaching Jesus. I've got to be where the saints are shouting hallelujah, praise unto God. Thank you, Jesus. I've got to be in the Lord's presence with God's people. You know why? Because that's where things happen.
Amen.
I know I've had them. I've been driving down the road and God just show up. Hey, I know, but that ain't the same. It's not the same. Amen.
Yeah,
amen. It's not the same when the Lord drops in. Amen. When you come to His house and the host is there. Amen. He starts serving you. Because that's what He does. Amen. He loves us. It says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of glory of God. Access by one Spirit in Ephesians, it says. Access with confidence in Ephesians. Because He opened the gate. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Hebrews 13:10, two verses, Travis, and I'm closing. I mean it. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. Now, I read it, and in context, he's talking about they was eating food.
Yes.
But what the Holy Ghost said, we eat of the Spirit. Jesus said, my blood and my body, if you eat not, drink not, you are none of mine. Amen. We have access by one Spirit to eat of the holiness of God. Amen. You see, that's we need to start taking that matter seriously.
Yeah, right.
What is it that you really do when you enter into your private place? Is it about you and your needs, or is it about God and His will? Now, I'm not knocking anybody, because I'm probably as selfish as you are, if not more, when it comes to me. And I heard somebody today somewhere in here saying, I love me. I think a lot about me. But I'm here to tell you tonight, I want to think more about Him than I do me. If truly John the Baptist said, I must decrease and He must increase, and there must be something more to that than me, myself, and mine. It has to be more than that. Hebrews 10:19 says, having therefore, come and get a song. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. You see, He opened a gate that you and I could go in and out of. Stand to your feet.
Jesus.
What are you doing with it? What are you doing with your access? If you live in a private community, you got an access code. I got one. It's called the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
I go in and out because of the blood of Jesus. Amen. Some days I go in to get cleaned up. Some days I go in to get built up. Some days I go in just because I ain't got nowhere else to go. But I know where to go. And I go in every time. I punch in the same access code. J-E-S-U-S. The door opens every time. I go right through the gate. I go in. I sup. Amen. He sups with me. Amen. He looks at me. He says, where you been, boy? Amen. Not as if he really needed to know. He already knew. But yet he wants to hear from me what I've been up to. Amen. And I ain't the least bit bashful. Amen. I got boldness to enter in there by the blood of Jesus Christ. That if I repent, if it's sin, He says, we have advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and I repent of my sins. He's faithful and just to forgive me my sin and to cleanse me of all unrighteousness. He's faithful to do so. He who called me is faithful to deliver me. And bless God, I'm here to tell you tonight, if you ain't entered in the gate, won't you come tonight?
That's right.
Because you're on the outside looking in and you're believing a lie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't believe a lie. Jesus is the truth. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. He said, I'm the good shepherd. Amen. Another they will not follow. You see, when he was talking about Eli and Samuel this morning, you see, Eli had the anointing of God. And when Eli spoke, it was as if God was speaking himself, because God was speaking through him. So Samuel could not tell the difference between what had happened and what God was doing. But it wasn't until he was told, and you've been told, that God is calling you.
Yeah.
Answer him.
Amen.
Come through the gate. So, as we sing a song, if you need Jesus, if you've been touched, if you've been rubbed, if you've been scrubbed by anything, let's come and pray. Let's get this thing set on fire. Amen. Let's bring the fire of the Holy Spirit, the boldness that God has given us because of the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for us. Can you say that for me? Let's all say that. It was shed for me. It was shed for me. See, it wouldn't hurt me, my feelings one bit, if we just had a little shout down. It was done for me. Hey, he did it for me one day. Hey, when everybody's hollering, I got a spot. Well, his blood was shed for me. I got the access code. Go in and out of the gate.
Amen.
Sing it.